It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We say that about the weekly appearances of Darren Dreger, and that's why we're thrilled to have him once again here from his home office on TSN, bringing the insider goods. Darren, how are you?
Doing well. I'm inside, you're outside. This is terrific.
We've got it all covered. And you know what?
We're in different locations. You're in the same, but me and Duffer are in different locations.
I sometimes like need to remind myself, start with the good, you know? It's too easy to just pile on and look for negativity. So let me say this.
Yeah, I like it.
I enjoyed so much watching Elvis Merzlikens last night look like the best version of Elvis Merzlikens. He now has 60 saves on 61 shots the last two games. They've won both. They've done it in a little different manner. Had been high scoring. Last night, they were able to lock it down, play a tight game against the Islanders to come in here, tomorrow night. What can you say about everything that has materialized with the Jackets so far, given everything they've had to deal with?
Oh, man, it's such a great story, and good on you for starting with a positive. And the Columbus Blue Jackets are exactly that. Like, it's weird at this point of the regular season. It's not brand new that the Jackets are surprising teams and good teams. You know, Edmonton got slapped around earlier this week. Yeah. Last week it was the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, teams that, you know, shouldn't have their way with any other club in the National Hockey League, but they should be better than the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yet the speed of the Blue Jackets, the structure, the goaltending, I mean, they seem to have it all. And I mean, how much of this is emotionally motivated? And I think that there's a fair bit of that. You know, if you're Dean Evason, new coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Don Waddell, the new general manager, I mean, the unthinkable happened, right? The loss of Johnny Gaudreau and his brother, Matthew. The only option you have is to pull the organization up from the ashes. And I think that in many ways, it had to galvanize this group because, you know, Waddell knew coming in that getting this team back on the rails was going to be a challenge. It was going to be formidable. You know, he goes through the coaching scenario and ends up with Dean Evason, and then just the tragedy hits and the whole world is upside down. So it's just a brilliant positive story right now.
No, it's definitely that. And Don Waddell this morning in the offices in Columbus riding a scooter dressed as the Green Lantern, really enjoying the Halloween festivities. But you're right, he's pushed the right button. Now, Duffer, you know all I have liked Elvis Merzlikens over the last little bit here. And watching him play was one that was, a really rewarding thing for him last night. Dean Evason doing some really good work behind the bench. Now, the New York Islanders, I'll go to the negative. I'm a positive guy, but I'll go to the negative right now, Dregs.
Here we go.
The New York Islanders, they're not scoring much. They're in Buffalo tomorrow night. And Patrick Roy, you know, two nights ago, he's like, oh, we played well. We were the better team against Anaheim. Just couldn't get a goal. You know, they scored a 5-on-3, I believe, on Tuesday night. That was their only goal. And then they get shut out for the fourth time, I believe, this year, last night. We are starting to see coaches on the hot seat. Is Patrick Roy on the hot seat in New York Islanders?
I mean, I can appreciate the feeling that that could be the case. You know, for me, it's still too early for that. The one thing that I continually get you know, when I poke around the New York Islanders. And it's mostly because of what you just said here, Marty. I mean, there's a ton of inconsistency in how this group is responding and playing on a night in and night out basis. So why is that? We know that Patrick Roy historically is hard on players. I mean, he was hard on his teammates when he was starring in the National Hockey League. He was, you know, he just demanded excellence from everybody. How much of that is a factor? Is it wearing on these guys even a little bit? Is he fully on board and in tune with Lou Lamoriello, the general manager who's brought in the players, or is he looking for something different? There's all kinds of speculation that is swirling around the New York Islanders right now. And I think we can all envision how fascinating that dynamic has to be between Lamoriello and Patrick Roy. I mean, just think about it. I mean, you've got, you know, the spontaneous combustion of Patrick Roy to go along with the stoic my way or the highway approach of Lou Lamoriello. That doesn't always jive, but they're finding a way to work together. But in the end, there's got to be results, and the results have to be wins for the Islanders. So until they get to playing with a level of consistency, I think that there's going to be speculation that continues to swirl around that club.
The cynics, those who, you know, tend to gravitate to a little sarcasm when evaluating teams and situations, probably had a field day last night with the depleted Avalanche squad yet again. This team has rode the roller coaster pretty hard here in the opening month of the year, losing 4, winning 5. Now they've dropped 2, and they were down to goalie number 3 last night, making his Avalanche debut, and after a routine first save, promptly gave up 3 goals on the next 4 shots, and Kaapo Kähkönen was down, as was the team. They never recovered against Gensel, Kucherov, and the Bolts. However, that depleted lineup, really depleted lineup due to injury, and not just their current, you know, uncertainty in the crease, it ended up having an even more negative impact, because a player you probably have never heard of, and Matt Steinberg, comes in and tries to be an energy player and went way over the line in a charging incident into Eric Chernak. And I get it. Everybody in Buffalo is going to say Chernak deserved it. He's been listed Dahlin for years, whatever, whatever. The fact of the matter is, Chernak left the game with a head injury
on a major penalty,
and ultimately, it was a bad look for a guy starting out his NHL career.
Yeah, I mean, just overzealous, right? Cool. I mean, this is a tap-in for George Parros and the Department of Player Safety. I can't see how he isn't suspended, because we can see on the video right here. I mean, he launched himself at Chernak. I mean, it's not an inch or two of space and leaving his feet. I mean, he's a half a foot or more in the air. So that has to be suspendable. And you do worry about the health of the player here. Chernak plays a very physical game. That's the way he's always played. He's an important piece for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So in this case, yeah, they needed some energy, but I wonder about, we just talked about the frustration building around the New York Islanders. You know, for me, the team to watch is Colorado. And I'm not putting, I think Jared Bednar is a terrific NHL coach. So I'm not hinting at what Chris McFarland management ownership might do in Colorado with coaching. I think he's safe. You know, the reality of that situation is they're just all bunged up by players who can't play. You know, like they're $35+ million invested in players who aren't available to that group. So if it weren't for the likes of Nathan MacKinnon and the superstars of the Colorado Avalanche, imagine where that team would be right now. So they've got a number of different stories kind of swirling around there. But, you know, for the last couple of years anyway, goaltending has been right near the top of the list of the stories in Colorado, but it just doesn't feel like there's a whole lot that Chris McFarland can do to remedy any situation there because of his hands being tied financially.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, Cernak missed the playoffs a year and a half ago, the 2023 playoffs, after game one against Toronto. Bunting hit him in the head with an illegal hit to the head, had a concussion, you know, long recovery. So that's never good to see somebody getting hit in the head like that, even anybody. So that's never good. So that leads me to, well, Tampa now is a defenseman down. Liljegren got traded to San Jose, as Duffer was mentioning earlier. The Sabres have two extra defensemen in Dennis Gilbert and Jacob Bryson. Kevin Adams is probably working the phones. What is something that I don't want to say this player, that player, but I think the Sabres are looking for maybe a forward at some point. They may have to. They change their lines today. Anything that could be happening soon, or is this more like, okay, let's revisit that at the end of November?
Yeah, probably the latter here, Marty. But it's timely because of the trades that we've seen this week, right? The two defensemen that get traded, Ole Mata, and last night, Timothy Liljegren from the Toronto Maple Leafs to the San Jose Sharks. So clearly teams are starting now to process what they have and the fact that they'd like to see some upgrades, right? And I look, if you ask Kevin Adams, he would tell you he likes the look of the Buffalo Sabres. He does. But just doing his job, he's got to be searching for upgrades in all positions. I mean, primarily, yeah, you're right. You're looking at forwards, potentially on defense. But it doesn't sound, based on the sources that I've talked to, that he's pinpointing either position. I think he's actually dabbling across the league. And, you know, he's probably looking defensively at teams that maybe have some depth or strength there, likewise with forwards, and seeing if there's some form of connection to what Buffalo has, either in the system or what the Buffalo Sabres have on the roster. So there's nothing imminent. There's nothing front burner here. But I think it is noteworthy and interesting that he's working diligently in search of an upgrade, but nothing close. I do think, though, as we get deeper into the season, that's when you start to look at some of the contract players, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're looking at Bo Byram. And then you're looking at Peyton Krebs, and you're looking at some of these other pieces and, you know, kind of balancing that against internally, is there more value in these players longer term? And if so, what does that negotiation look like? Do these players want to stay in Buffalo long term? And if they don't, then how quickly do you act in considering some of the trade interests that will be in those guys? Those are two of the players that I'm going to watch closely out of Buffalo moving forward here.
Can Vegas make the playoffs simply by going unbeaten at home? Because they cannot win on the road. They are a disaster outside of the fortress. They've lost all four. They were not good against LA. Marty, another situation where last night should have taken advantage of a tired team. LA had just played the night before.
Yeah.
Somehow,
well, he got stuck by San Jose, exactly. So,
yeah, it was bad. It was just not good. I mean, your favorite goaltender did not have a great game in the Golden Knights crease there, Marty. So,
no, but Vegas dregs. You think Vegas is probably, despite the fact they lost to LA, can't win on the road, one of the strongest Western Conference teams now, when you look at the Oilers not playing well, Colorado not playing well, and Vancouver not having Thatcher Demko, you got to kind of fall on Vegas now to be the favorite out West, right?
No, Winnipeg, Minnesota, like those are teams that are playing way better, I think.
Yeah, and Dallas for me is probably the best. You know, anytime I think of Vegas and the success that they have, it comes down to the health of that team. And you can say that about any team and any of their top players. But we've been down the road with Mark Stone and the Vegas Golden Knights. And right now, Mark Stone has been terrific out of the gate. Alex Pietrangelo, Jack Eichel. I mean, these are the principal primary pieces, you know, of what makes the Vegas Golden Knights as strong as they are. And they're strong. But, you know, is that sustainable for the rest of this regular season? Or is there a situation where, Mark Stone is going to need a little rest? Well, you're down that path. But I think they're a contending team. I think it's impossible to deny that.
Yeah.
LTII. But I'm not talking about the Jets stuff. I told you, I'm not talking about the Jets. They don't even exist for me now.
I'm well aware of your ignorance to some of the best performers so far in the NHL this year. Another three-pointer for Kyle Connor last night.
Yes.
What a tear he is on. And presumably will find himself in a very high-profile situation when the Four Nations tournament rolls around. Drakes, thanks for joining as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, have a great weekend.
Back after this on Sabres Live.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.